Hey, Dave, it's Todd Herman.
Todd, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. So I just tapped into my LinkedIn and saw a note from you. I don't get them forwarded anymore. Just not on there. So I guess we worked together before, huh? Or kind of crossed over at MSN? What'd you do there?
Yeah.
This won't be on the tape, but what'd you do there?
Oh, yeah. Essentially, I was running the kind of B2B industry marketing for MSN for a time, working for Joanne Bradford.
Okay, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And Joanne, remember, I've told the story on the air. I've never used her name. I didn't have permission, but I loved it when we were starting MSN Video. She called me into that beautiful office of hers and said, I'm going to help you get this thing done. I'm excited about this, but you're going to promise me you never take a cent of interactive money and that it is all TV money, or I will crush you and this project. And I said, well, that's fair. You're going to promise me that I control the ad rates and the GTM on this, and we're agreed.
Yeah.
And she said, fair, done. Yeah, I love Joanne. She's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, no BS.
No kidding. Yeah, that was a very good group you guys ran. I will have Tom erase this all, obviously. And I'll do a 3-2-1, and we'll get started. Don't be shy about promoting the book. That's the exchange, value exchange for having you on the air. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, all right. No problem.
3-2-1. Joining me now is a local guy and author, Dave Chase, has written a book called The Opioid Crisis Wake-Up Call. He is the co-founder of Health Rosetta. We won't talk about this, Dave, but you and I have a little bit of a connection in a previous life. Welcome to the Todd Herman Show.
Looking forward to the chat. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. So there's a bill, and it's a moment of bipartisanship that's come out of Congress. Maria Cantwell was involved in this, trying to bring money to the table to fight the opioid crisis in our area. And I want to talk to you about where you're enthusiastic about the bill, changes you think need to be made. But can I challenge you just straight off the bat? Can I challenge you on something?
Please do.
All right.
That's what makes it interesting.
All right. I have tweeted out to all the office holders and to President Trump, do not send any federal money for opioids to Washington State. Because it's going to be wasted. Because while we are going, we've decriminalized meth and fentanyl and heroin. Now, it's a gram. Cops tell me that I call him Heroin Dan Satterberg, our King County prosecutor. He wants people to be able to carry 10 grams. It's decriminalized. Everybody knows it's decriminalized. And we know we have addicts moving in from out of the state to come here. Well, I just have a story coming up later about Starbucks employees getting stabbed in the hand by needles. Or I think that will be the second time we've aired that. Getting stabbed in the hand by needles. So, honest to goodness, is federal money pouring into Washington State going to work in this state?
Well, most of what's needed to fix this issue isn't, frankly, about the money. I mean, I would say the one area where if you see, like, it was the county in California that had the highest rate of overdose deaths in their state, four times the state average, literally have 2 years running with no opioid overdose deaths. And there's one element which is of that, that's just a piece of it, but it's a start. And that is naloxone, which is the overdose reversal. Some people were talking about putting those in with the defibrillators.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something where that will probably take some money. But if you look at the actual big issue, my critique on this is, it's like there's a giant poisoning that's going on. And certainly if a bunch of people show up in the ER that have been poisoned, you want to stabilize them. Maybe it's salmonella, maybe it's something in the water, whatever it is. That's what we do. We try to save people when they're, sick or dying. But then we've got to say, why is that happening? And how do we stop that? And we will never get out of this mess if we don't go upstream. And that's where the bill falls short. And, there were some good elements of the bill I can speak to that, aren't necessarily a dollars and cents thing. But here and there, there's a few dollars that can be used. But the big issue is not about dollars. It's about our system. And, the way I look at it is, the opioid crisis actually isn't an anomaly at all. It is our healthcare system, and there's more to be said on that. But if you don't recognize that, you actually can't solve the problem.
So Dave Chase is with us. He's a local author and has written a book about the opioid crisis as a wake-up call. Dave, I may be the only guy in conservative radio, at least, who has talked about pain as the fifth vital sign. And this is where you enter into your doctor's office and they ask you right off the bat, what level of pain are you experiencing? Which in and of itself is a farcical question because there's no objective standard that. I mean, your 10 could be someone else's 3. And doctors are now rated, post-Obamacare, I might add, rated on the abeyance of pain. Whether or not it is a pain that should be abated through opioids, I guess there's a tendency for doctors and other staff to want to get good pain ratings. So is that one of the things that you point to in our system?
Yep. I outlined 12 major drivers of the crisis, which most people are greatly oversimplifying. And one of those 12 major drivers is that issue, pain as a fifth vital sign. That has led to all kinds of issues that we're paying for. And then you combine that with increasingly providers are getting compensated on patient satisfaction, and you create a toxic brew with those two things. And that's another one of the drivers.
Yep, you there, Dave?
I sure am.
Okay. Yeah, we just dropped you for a second. Yeah, and can you describe how those two things come together, patient satisfaction and pain is the fifth vital sign, and how that's contributing to the crisis?
Yes, absolutely. So when you have pain as a fifth vital sign, you have a dynamic where the patient knows that they are going to have this issue addressed, whether or not a pill would address it. And unfortunately, there are both people who are already addicted, and that's an issue. And frankly, there's kind of a quick fix mentality that exists that there's a pill to solve everything. And the average American spends 16 times more time watching pharmaceutical ads than listening to or spending time with their doctor every year. So guess what wins? And so you have that dynamic going into the appointment against a backdrop where we've badly undermined primary care to create these drive-by appointments. And then that leads to the overprescribing. And that issue is just horrendous because it's basically giving a chemical for a mechanical problem. You know, it would be like putting STP in your gas tank for your carburetor not functioning well, or, you know, your wheels being out of alignment. Yeah, maybe it's, you know, in terms of the pill, maybe it can mask the pain for a bit. But that mechanical issue still exists. And if you don't get at that issue, you'll never get out of the problem. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Starbucks earlier. To their credit, they did a study of the spinal procedures that were being done on their employees. And with Virginia Mason, fully 90% of those spinal procedures didn't help at all. And in a lot of cases, you know, if they're not doing spinal procedures, they're giving people opioids for back pain. You know, I've been one of those people. Fortunately, I didn't become addicted. But that's one of those things that creates all kinds of issues.
Yeah, you know, Dave, I've also read about Washington State being one of the top spends for lobbyists pushing opioid usage down into the medical profession. It's also the lobbyists who pushed pain as the fifth vital sign. But there's this other hand of government that's come on board. And I've read about, I always get confused if it was Medicare or Medicaid, was one of the chief over-prescribers of opioids. Particularly, there was a study done in, I think it was Kentucky. They did a study that showed that the over-proliferated use there was to bizarre levels. Have you studied that, the influence of government and lobbyists and them working together for their crony capitalist sort of attack on our country?
Well, there's been... For sure, when you look at the healthcare industry, there is more money spent on lobbying by the healthcare industry then financial services, defense, and aerospace, and oil and gas combined. And so certainly they get what they want. And so there are, you know, variety of issues where, for example, with this bill, there's a good facet of the bill where they're having more, quote, sunshine on the payments between pharmaceutical companies and doctors. Like, that's good. And they're extending that basically to other prescribers like physician's assistants. But where the lobbyists are weighing in and keeping more sunshine from happening is the business side, which is every bit as influential as the clinical side. So the money between pharma distributors, we're called pharmacy benefits managers, which are some of the largest companies in America that probably nobody's ever heard of, the carriers, the benefits brokers, there is massive sums of money flowing there. And unfortunately, when you look at what's happened, the things that actually work, that there's evidence for things like physical therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy. Actually, the University of Washington had one of the best pain management centers once upon a time, but it basically got bled dry because the carriers, you know, said, yeah, we'll pay for drugs, but we're not going to pay for these things that actually work. And so that's been another one of these issues where there's a lot of margin in pills. There's very little to no margin in things like physical therapy. And that's what we've basically baked into the system. And one in particular that, you know, you talk about the problems that we've created. The CMS, which is the government, you know, organization Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, is what it stands for. That oversees, you know, a big chunk of our economy and certainly healthcare, and most of the rest of the healthcare system follows their lead. 27 out of the 29 members of the AMA committee that makes decisions that CMS rubber stamps were made up of specialists and proceduralists. So guess what happened? That dramatically undermined primary care. They only had two representatives, even though, you know, primary care should probably be 60%. And so that led to some of these sort of issues where certain things are getting paid for that really shouldn't be paid for, and things that should be paid for aren't being paid for, or very difficult to access.
Yeah, Dave Chase has been with us. The book, what's the title of the book is The Opioid Crisis, A Wake-Up Call? Is that the title?
Yep. Yeah. And the subtitle is Healthcare is Stealing the American Dream. Here's how we take it back. I mean, it really uses the opioid crisis as a means to get into the larger dysfunction, because there is a silver lining in that if you do actually take a systemic look at the crisis and solve it, you go a long ways towards solving the even larger healthcare dysfunction. And so that's kind of why I have that title.
Well, you've touched on a lot of topics we've touched on the show. There was a day when there was a one-to-one relationship or one-to-two between you and your doctor. You went in and saw your doctor. They may have been a nurse there, maybe a part-time bookkeeper. And as I'm fond of pointing out, on a cost basis, there's now 16 administrators for every one doctor in the relationship between healthcare and you. And you pay for every single administrator on top of the charge of the doctor. So we've also seen costs increase as we've created these complexities. I also point out to people all the time, there's a reason that lobbyists spend more money, not just as you said, Dave, between all those different sectors. Lobbying is now a bigger spend than R&D, research and development, in our country. And it's about buying favors and using legislation to punish your competitors. So, Dave, it's good to talk to you. Congratulations on the book. Good work. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yep, pleasure.